headlines this hour. An Israeli minister's recent visit to the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound sparks condemnations and calls for a UN Security Council meeting. Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei criticizes the West capitalist system as male-oriented and ignorant of women's rights. Also in the headlines, the U.S. Congress is thrown into chaos as the Republican Party's candidate to become House Speaker fails to win the support of hardline members. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. It's good to have you with us. The chorus of worldwide condemnation is growing over an Israeli minister's provocative storming of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. The United Arab Emirates and China have called for a UN Security Council meeting. The council is expected to convene on Thursday. Germany has also urged the Israeli regime to stop deliberate provocations. It's rejected unilateral steps that endanger the status quo on the compound in Al-Quds. Several countries, including Iran, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, have already joined the Palestinians in denouncing the intrusion by Itamar Ben-Gvir. The Palestinian leadership calls it a dangerous escalation and part of Israeli efforts to turn the shrine into a Jewish temple. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas regards the move as crossing a red line. Even some within the Israeli regime, including opposition leader and former Prime Minister Yair Lapid, have warned that such moves could lead to more violence. The Protestant cemetery in Al-Quds has witnessed acts of vandalism and desecration of dozens of graves, reportedly by Jewish extremists. An archbishop who is the cemetery's caretaker has called for measures to stop similar sacrilegious acts.
When we discovered that more than 30 tombstones and crosses were smashed to pieces by at least two Jewish extremists, I ask that an action will be taken for the perpetrators to be put to law, and there will be a lesson for others, you know, not to take this lightly. And we as a church and as owners of the cemetery will make all things possible to ensure that things and the acts of vandalism like this will not be repeated again. This is the one, because like, whether they are from this group or that fringe or that group, at least you know the narrative is one, and that is hatred speech. And this is what we are against as a church.
The cemetery security camera footage showed two men vandalizing the site while wearing Jewish attire. Israeli police have launched a probe. That's why law enforcement and local officials are facing criticism for inaction toward the blasphemy. Back in December 21, church leaders warned about frequent attacks against Christians by fringe radical groups in Al-Quds. People converged on the Iranian city of Kerman, the hometown of the country's top anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, to pay tribute to him on the third anniversary of his martyrdom. Mahdi Abbasian has more.
Crowds of people who traveled from across Iran to the city of Kerman, the hometown of the country's late anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Men, women, children, thousands of people from different walks of life converged on the city to commemorate the third anniversary of General Soleimani's assassination and to pay tribute to a man they venerate as a hero.
I have traveled from Khuzestan to Kerman. We came here to show that the path of General Soleimani continues.
3 years after his assassination in a U.S. drone strike near Baghdad Airport, people are still filled with an overwhelmed sense of loss as they viewed the late general as a man who fought against tyranny and defended the oppressed.
He didn't just care about his own country, but he had a wider approach. In fact, he wanted peace and security for all people across the world.
While the enemies of the Islamic Republic of Iran targeted General Soleimani and killed him, his ideology is still alive and has had an impact not only on Iranians, but also all the freedom-seeking people of the world.
Killing Qasem Soleimani does not mean that his ideology was killed. His ideology was still alive. This shows that Qasem Soleimani is still alive as his ideology. The people, we as youth, are still going in his path.
Also, the presence of the youth in the memorial ceremonies and rallies in Kerman to venerate General Soleimani was noticeable.
I came here because of Haj Qasem, because he fought Daesh to make sure we live in peace and security. I love him so much.
Haj Qasem is a very popular figure among people due to his courage, kindness, and selflessness.
The younger generation respects and honors General Soleimani's school of thought, which revolves around serving people with selflessness.
The U.S. assassinated Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani because he foiled America's vicious plots in the region, but it was a strategic mistake. The martyrdom of General Soleimani pumped fresh blood into the veins of resistance and encouraged millions to follow his path. Mahdi Abbasian, Kerman.
Described the West capitalist system as a patriarchal one, which he says the capital is more valuable than humanity. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says the West considers humanity as capital, and therefore those who invest more are more valuable. He called that system male-oriented, where women's rights are often being ignored. Referring to women's working conditions in those countries, the leaders said currently they receive lower wages than their male counterparts. That indicates their exploitation. Ayatollah Khamenei made the remarks in a meeting with a group of prominent Iranian women. The meeting was held on the occasion of the birth anniversary of the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad. The day is designated as National Women's and Mother's Day in Iran. It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. A base housing American troops illegally deployed to Syria has come under a fresh rocket attack. The U.S. military says two rockets have hit the base in eastern Syria without causing casualties or damage. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack. The U.S. has for long stationed forces and equipment in eastern and northeastern Syria without the Syrian government's consent. Washington claims that its military presence in the energy-rich region is aimed at preventing oil fields from falling into the hands of Daesh terrorists. Damascus has repeatedly called on the U.N. Security Council to end Washington's military presence in the country. It considers the deployment illegal and aimed at plundering Syria's oil and other natural resources. Let's bring in Fra Hughes, a journalist and author and activist who joins us from Belfast. Fra Hughes, welcome. Taking a look at what has occurred here, it puts into question once again the U.S. presence on Syrian soil. Now, the reasoning that's given by Washington is that it has to be there to fight these Daesh terrorists, and at the same time limit Iran's influence in Syria. When it comes to fighting Daesh terrorists, let me ask you that. U.S. has been there for years. Why isn't it eradicating the terrorists from that region if it's there for that purpose?
Yes, the U.S. sees itself as the only superpower, basically, that's been left in the world. It has spent the highest amount of GDP than any other country. In fact, many countries combined on its military infrastructure and its exploitation of violence, military occupation, and war throughout the globe. There are many, many, many. There's a proliferation of American illegal military bases in Syria brought about from 2014 onwards when Obama became the president. So there is the firepower, but there is not the willpower, there is not the political follow-through by the American administration to deal with Daesh. Many people believe Daesh was created by America, by Britain, by Israel, and by other parties whose only concern was the regime change operation in Syria. I've always believed that if Syria had fallen, that I believe the Caucasus would be next, that they would send this fully armed, if not fully trained, horde of malcontents, thugs, murderers, and terrorists onto the borders with Russia. So America has no intention of defeating Daesh and never has. It is all about occupation and the balkanization of Syria. It is about stealing the wheat and stealing the oil resources for financial gain. These resources belong to the Syrian people. If they're worried about Daesh, they could simply leave, and the Syrian Arab Army and its coalition of partners would certainly clear out Daesh, and those oil fields could return to full productivity, and where the monies and where the revenues are spent on rebuilding Syria, strengthening the Syrian Arab army, and bringing humanitarian aid to those who have suffered for more than 12 years for the war on Syria, led by the West, very similar to the war in Ukraine and the coup in 2014 on the people of Donbass. So there's no political will to tackle Daesh. It's a smokescreen, literally, to steal oil revenues, to steal the wheat revenues, to starve the people of Syria, and to cause fuel crisis in order to help continue with the Western plot for regime change, which has utterly failed because Russia and because Iran and people like the great martyr General Soleimani came to the aid of the people of Syria, including Hezbollah in Lebanon. This has been a game changer and has prevented Syria from falling under the imperial kosh, and they have been able to stand up against this Western intrigue.
What do you make of the rapprochement that's going on between countries that were on the opposing side of Syria, who were really after, with all their might, I must add, to remove the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, who are now embracing him, like the UAE, we hear also the Arab League, certain members, and the most recent one, which either is in the works, and one piece of news I read that has been scheduled, and that's Turkey, where the Turkish president and the Syrian president Bashar al-Assad may meet, not confirmed, so but it shows that there's a movement towards that. What are the reasons for that, do you think? And this comes to the dismay of the U.S., by the way.
Yes, well, I think Russia is playing a pivotal and crucial diplomatic role in the background. I think that while some countries were more than willing to see the Syrian Arab Republic fall, to see the Ba'ath Party destroyed in Syria, I think they have come to the realization that Syria is standing tall. Syria will not be defeated. Syria has regional military backers who are going to stand with them. They will stand together or they will fall together. And I think the fact that Turkey is now talking about removing all the Turkish troops, which are in I think it is northern Syria, if they were to remove them and hand those areas over to the Syrian Arab army and also remove the Takfiri Daesh people that Turkey has been supporting from perhaps 2011 on, when we remember a lot of the foreign jihadists who entered Syria in order to behead and butcher and crucify and murder Syrian nationals, came through Turkey. Now, if Turkey turns to the position where it is in a rapprochement with Damascus and we have a de facto ceasefire, we will ultimately possibly end up with just the illegal American presence supported by the Kurds in the Syrian, so-called Syrian defense forces. It's possible that the more the country is liberated, the more the Kurds will come under pressure. And I think it is possible that without American backing, the Kurds will fold like a deck of cards. And hopefully going forward, we may find the sovereign nation of Syria intact, but this will take military decisive action against the illegal occupiers and against American forces on the ground, like they did in Baghdad when they bombed the Green Zone, and like they did in Iraq whenever they targeted American convoys. And if you look at the Ansarallah movement in Yemen, I mean, the UAE and Saudi Arabia are trying to steal the oil that belongs to the people of Yemen. And the Ansarallah movement has answered that by threatening the ships and the tankers that would consider removing the oil with being attacked. And when you consider there are shipments nearly every day, trillions of dollars worth of oil has been stolen by the American coalition from the people of Syria and from their elected government in the Syrian Arab Republic.
Thank you. Mohammed Ali joins us now, a correspondent from Damascus, to give us the latest on this attack that has taken place. What do you have for us, Mohammed?
Yes, what we know is that two rockets struck a U.S. Military base, illegally, of course, established in northeastern Syria. U.S. troops in a site called Conoco over there were targeted at about 9 a.m. Local time. This is according to U.S. Central Command. Now, we don't know how many U.S. Forces are actually stationed in that particular base, but what is for sure is that there are several U.S. Illegal U.S. Bases inside Syria. They're occupying many parts in eastern and northeastern Syria. According to the U.S. Central Command, there was no damage and no one was injured, but we cannot make sure about such information or confirm it. This is what the U.S. Central Command said. Also, no one claimed responsibility for this attack. This is yet not the first kind of attack on U.S. Military bases in Syria. And if you ask Syrians on the street or even analysts, they'll tell you that this is a clear and direct message to the U.S. to leave Syria. They are not welcomed over here. They are here illegally without the UN consent or Syrian consent. There is no invitation for the U.S. troops inside Syria. All they did is to divide the country, to prolong the crisis, to destroy Syria. In fact, all of the U.S.-led coalition strikes and attacks and operations in Syria destroyed many cities, also killed civilians over here, also gave support to Daesh terrorists.
And with that, we come to an end for this edition of The News Review. Thanks for tuning in. Republican lawmakers at the lower house of U.S. Congress are trying to resolve an impasse over choosing a new leader. The chamber has been thrown into chaos with the Republican Party's favorite candidate failing to win the support of hardline members. In the last ballot, California lawmaker Kevin McCarthy fell short of crossing the threshold of 218 votes to become Speaker. That's mainly because far-right Republicans, well, they're arguing that McCarthy is not loyal enough to former U.S. President Donald Trump, who is running for the upcoming presidential election. The lower chamber of the parliament will convene later on Wednesday for further voting. Republicans flipped the House in their favor with a narrow majority after the 2022 midterm elections. And that is it for this edition of World News. Do stay with us. It's bye-bye for now.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
U.S. Representative Rashida Tlaib has released a statement after voting against the FY23 National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, saying, "I voted against the $847 billion so-called defense budget, the largest ever in the history of our country, while the needs of working families are neglected here at home. This package was $45 billion more than President Biden even requested. It's outrageous that every year we spend more on our military weapons and war than the next nine countries combined, including China, India, Russia, the UK, Saudi Arabia, Germany, France, Japan, and South Korea. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more.
Tonight,
Tehran Times wrote in this regard, the U.S. House of Representatives has backed legislation that paves the way for the military budget to hit a record $858 billion next year. The massive amount of funds even surpasses the amount proposed by President Joe Biden by $45 billion. The Fiscal 2023 National Defense Authorization Act authorizes $858 billion in military spending and includes funding for further purchases of weapons, warships, and warplanes. The measure was passed following months of negotiations between Republicans and Democrats in both the Senate and the House. The bill paves the way for more funds to develop new weapons and purchase systems, including Lockheed Martin Corp F-35 fighter jets and ships made by General Dynamics. The massive military policy bill also includes authorization of up to $10 billion in military assistance and fast-tracked weapons procurement for Taiwan. This is likely to be met with anger from Beijing, which views Taiwan as an integral part of China. Beijing is growing increasingly frustrated with Washington's disregard towards Chinese territory, accusing the U.S. of interference in its domestic affairs. Beijing also accuses Washington of using Taiwan to contain China's growing economic and military strength. This is despite the fact that experts say China has no ambitions to become the number one superpower in the world, as the U.S. is attempting to do so. Washington appears eager to raise tensions in East Asia, with the Pentagon's focus on China. In the summer, Washington sharply raised tensions after former U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi paid a highly controversial visit to Taiwan. Despite America's attempts to contain another sovereign country's capabilities, China sent a new remote sensing satellite into space from the Taiwan Satellite Launch Center in North China's Shaanxi Province at 2:31 a.m. local time recently. The satellite Gaofen 501A was launched abroad, a Long March 2D rocket, and entered its planned orbit successfully. It is a hyperspectral satellite that will be used for remote sensing and applications in diverse fields, such as pollution reduction, environmental monitoring, natural resource surveys, and climate change studies. The satellite will help improve the country's hyperspectral observation capacity in areas such as environmental protection, land, weather, agriculture, and disaster alleviation. The launch was the 453rd flight mission of the Long March carrier rocket series. The House passed a version of the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, an annual must-pass bill setting policy for the Pentagon by 350-80, far exceeding the two-thirds majority required to pass the legislation. The U.S. security budget legislation will now head to the Senate for a vote and will also need a rubber stamp from President Biden. Both measures are expected to pass with ease. The bill also provides Ukraine with at least $800 million in additional military assistance next year and includes a range of provisions to strengthen Taiwan's military. This comes as the U.S. is preparing to send Ukraine a further $275 million military aid package, offering new capabilities to defeat drones and strengthen air defenses, according to a document seen by officials familiar with the package. Details of the anti-drone and air defense equipment included have not been determined. The Pentagon is also expected to include rockets for high-mobility artillery rocket system, HIMARS launchers made by Lockheed Martin Corp., 155mm ammunition, Humvee military vehicles and generators, according to the People and the Document. A National Security Council spokesperson declined to comment on aid package. The contents and size of aid packages can shift until they are signed by the president. The $275 million will be covered by Presidential Drawdown Authority, PDA, which allows the U.S. to transfer defense articles and services from stocks quickly without congressional approval in response to an emergency. The U.S. has sent sophisticated anti-aircraft NASAMS systems to Ukraine, which have been running for a few weeks. Washington previously announced it was also sending Hawk interceptor missiles, as well as the U.S. is preparing to send Ukraine a $275 million military aid package offering new capabilities to defeat drones and strengthen air defenses, according to people familiar with the package. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment, and a National Security Council spokesperson declined to comment on the aid package. The contents and size of aid packages can shift until they are signed by the president. Washington previously announced it was sending 4 Avenger short-range air defense systems that use Stinger missiles made by Raytheon Technologies Corps and Hawk interceptor missiles. U.S. allies have also been sending air defense systems since the start of the Russia-Ukraine conflict on February 24th. Since then, the U.S. has sent almost $20 billion worth of military assistance to Kyiv. Washington's allies such as Britain, France, and Canada have also been sending aid packages for Ukraine. Russia, however, has time and again warned that the continued supply of Western weapons and military equipment to Kyiv will only prolong the conflict. The Kremlin recently said Moscow is intensifying its operations in Ukraine in an attempt to force Kyiv to the negotiating table and end the crisis. According to Putin, these Ukrainian acts amount to genocide. He also said that the international uproar over strikes would not hinder Russia's missions in Ukraine. Russian authorities accuse Ukrainian forces of heavily shelling the eastern Donetsk region. The war in Ukraine has entered its 10th month, with both sides accusing the other of targeting civilian centers. Russian authorities accused the Ukrainian forces of heavily shelling the eastern Donetsk region. Critics argue the U.S. is seeking a stalemate in the country to contain Russia by sending more advanced weapons to Kyiv to prolong the war. At the same time, reports have emerged that Washington is sending out-of-date weapons to Kyiv when Ukrainian forces are advancing. Meanwhile, Reuters reported the U.S. House of Representatives backed legislation recently, paving the way for defense budget to hit a record $858 billion next year, $45 billion more than proposed by President. The House passed the compromised version of the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, an annual must-pass bill-setting policy for the Pentagon, by 350-84, exceeding the two-thirds majority required to pass the legislation and send it for a vote in the Senate. The fiscal 2023 NDAA authorizes $858 billion in military spending and includes a 4.6% pay increase for the troops, funding for purchases of weapons, ships and aircraft, and support for Taiwan. This bill in Congress is exercising its authority to authorize and do oversight, said Representative Adam Smith, the Democratic chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, in a speech urging support for the measure.
ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. أنت هب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل كتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتي الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we have reached this excerpt of the Kumail supplication that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَكُلَّ سَيِّئَةٍ أَمَرْتَ بِإِثْبَاتِهَا الْكِرَامَ الْكَاتِبِينَ الَّذِينَ وَكَّلْتَهُمْ بِحِفْظِ مَا يَكُونُ مِنِّي وَجَعَلْتَهُمْ شُهُودًا عَلَيَّ مَعَ جَوَارِحِي. And every evil act which you have appointed the noble writers to record, those whom you have appointed to watch every action of mine, and whom you have made, along with my limbs, witnesses against me. Now about this specific part, we mentioned many different Quranic verses, and we should also know that our traditions are replete with this concept of the two writer angels, and of course the limbs being witnesses for the human behavior. But the most important part is that this kind of monitoring is not the end, because also the Almighty, the prophets and the Imams also see the human deeds. وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ Imam Ali alayhi salam continues, and you are yourself the watcher over me from behind them. وَالشَّاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ عَنْهُمْ And the witness of what is hidden from them. وَبِرَحْمَتِكَ أَخْفَيْتَ But through your mercy you concealed it. وَبِفَضْلِكَ سَتَرْتَ And through your bounty you veiled it. This is what I ask from you. أَنْتَهَبَ لِي فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ وَفِي هَذِهِ السَّاعَةِ كُلَّ جُرْمٍ أَجْرَمْتُ Imam Ali, what Imam Ali alayhi salam is doing in this part is that he is requesting, he is asking the Almighty Allah to forgive his sins, those different sins that were counted in the beginning of the Divine Kumail supplication, especially in the section of, O Allah, forgive my sins that... Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati. So we're not going to talk about them, but the important thing is that Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking for forgiveness, but at the same time he is confessing to the fact that I know you are here to watch over all those watchers. You have ordered my jawarih, you have ordered those kiram al-katibin, and you have ordered all the prophets and the imams to testify against me if I do something wrong. But I know you are behind them all. You are the absolute cause. And I know you are the one who can forgive me. That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam states, مَنْ تَابَتَ بَاللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأُمِرَتْ جَوَارِحُهُ أَنْ تَسْتُرَ عَلَيْهِ. The one who repents, Allah would accept his repentance and order his organs to cover sins from his sight. وَبِقَاعُ الْأَرْضِ أَنْ تَكْتُمَ عَلَيْهِ. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, would order the earth segments to make him neglect his sins. وَأُنْسِيَتِ الْحَفَظَةُ مَا كَانَتْ تَكْتُبُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah makes the writers forget what they have written in that servant's letter of deeds. This is the kind of mercy we are discussing.
You have imposed it to bestow upon me this night and this very hour the forgiveness for all the transgressions that I have been guilty of. For all the sins that I have committed, for all the ugly acts that I have kept secret, and for all the evils done by me, secretly or openly, in concealment or outwardly, and for every evil action that you have ordered the two noble scribes to confirm, who you have appointed to record all my actions and to be witnesses over me, along with the limbs of my body, whilst you watch over me besides them, and was witness to those acts concealed from them, which you in your mercy have kept secret and through your kindness unexposed.
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, feeling the
The ocean of dua. So Imam Ali says, وَكُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ. And you are yourself the watcher over me from behind them. I know this. وَالشَّاهِدَ لِمَا خَفِيَ أَنْهُمْ. You are the one, the witness of what is hidden from them. وَبِرَحْمَتِكَ أَخْفَيْتَ. But I know it is you, and it is by your mercy that it can be concealed. وَبِفَضْلِكَ سَتَرْتَ. I ask you by your fadl. I ask you by your fadl because I know بِفَضْلِكَ سَتَرْتَ. I know you can veil it by your bounty. And now that you can forgive me, you are the absolute cause, I ask you even more. What is wrong with that? You are the absolute cause. You have ordered us to ask from you, so I ask more. وَأَن تُوَفِّرَ حَذِّي مِن كُلِّ خَيْرٍ تُنَزِّلُهُ. And I ask you that you bestow upon me an abundant share of every good you sent down. أَوْ إِحْسَانٍ فَضَّلْتَ. Every kindness you confer. أَوْ بِرٍ تَنْشُرُهُ. Every goodness you unfold. أَوْ رِزْقٍ تَبْسُطُهُ. Every provision you spread out. أَوْ ذَنْبٍ تَغْفِرُهُ. Every sin you forgive. أَوْ خَطَئٍ تَسْتُرُهُ. Every error you cover. So, you may have been with us in the previous episodes from the beginning verses of this Kumayyah supplication. There was a number of different specific stages different specific steps to be taken to reach this part, to ask the Almighty Allah all these things, every provision, every forgiveness, every covering, and every kindness. Imam Ali alayhi salam reached from asking forgiveness of those sins to asking all these best things, but through a system, through different steps that we must learn to apply as well. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The U.S. experienced more than 600 mass shootings in 2022, nearly double the number recorded 4 years ago when there were 336. This was reported by the Washington-based Gun Violence Archive. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Crescent International Roads, Americans not only kill other people by the millions, at least 32 million have been killed since 2001. They also kill their own by the tens of thousands. In 2022, the nonprofit group Gun Violence Archive recorded 43,789 deaths in 2022 related to gun violence in the U.S. Even children are not spared, as the latest figures released by Gun Violence Archive GVA on December 27, 2022 showed at least 6,032 children 17 years or younger have been killed or injured in 2022 so far, according to GVA data. The GVA figures for 2022 showed that 306 children 11 years of age and younger died by gunfire. Another 668 were injured. The figure for age bracket 12 to 17 provide an even more horrifying picture. 1,325 deaths and 3,732 injuries due to gunfire. This is the highest number of gun-related casualties since the GVA started keeping a record in 2014. The 2022 figures mark a notable increase in number of deaths and injuries since last year, when 5,708 casualties were recorded across the U.S. So far, there have been 609 mass shootings in the U.S. up to November 2022, according to GVA figures. Will these figures reach more than that number by the end of the year 2023? To equal the highest number of shootings recorded in the U.S., schools across the U.S. have also been targeted. On May 24, 2022, one of the most horrific school mass shootings occurred at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Salvador Ramos, 18, entered the school and barricaded himself in a classroom where he shot and killed 19 students aged 7 to 10 and two teachers. Before arriving at the school for his shooting spree, Ramos had also shot his grandmother. She was admitted to hospital in critical condition where she died. Ramos was shot and killed by U.S. Border Patrol agents and UCISD officers after they breached the classroom. Families of the victims of Uvalde school shooting have since launched a class action lawsuit against local and state police, the city, and other school and law enforcement officials seeking $27 billion due to delays in confronting the attacker, court documents show. The lawsuit filed in Austin, Texas, states that law enforcement officials failed to follow active attacker protocol when they waited for 77 minutes before confronting the attacker inside a fourth grade classroom. While the most recent school mass shooting evolved was not the most horrific, it was preceded by such other school shootings at those as Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut on December 14, 2012, and the Virginia Tech shooting in Blacksburg, Virginia of April 16, 2007. At a Sandy Hook Elementary School, 20-year-old Adam Lentz arrived with four guns. He entered a first grade class where he shot and killed 20 children aged 6 and 7, along with six adults, including four teachers, the principal, and the school psychologist. Two other people were injured. He also shot himself before the police arrived. In the Virginia Tech shooting, 23-year-old student Song Hoi Cho killed 32 students and faculty members in two separate attacks on campus. He also injured 17 others before committing suicide. On April 20, 1999, a school shooting and attempting bombing occurred at Columbine High School in Columbine, Colorado, that came to set an example for mass shootings at schools across the U.S. The perpetrators were two 12th grade students, Eric David Harris and Dylan Bennett Klebold. They murdered 12 students and one teacher before they committed suicide. It was the deadliest high school shooting in U.S. history at the time. Texas, Florida, and California have also recorded multiple school shootings. China Daily also reported in 2022 the U.S. again led the world in gun-related deaths, more than 20,900, including homicides and suicide, Gun Violence Archive says. and the U.S. has the highest number of guns per capita at more than 400 million weapons, meaning there is more than one gun for every man, woman, and child. Richard Burke, a professor emeritus of criminology and statistics at the University of Pennsylvania, told the Washington Post, "Many other countries have disadvantaged folks who are angry and alienated. But guns aren't there. Mass shootings in the U.S. have followed a predictable and superficial script, with a few exceptions. They produce calls for greater gun controls, including banning automatic weapons. Gun advocates defend the right to bear arms. There are instant monuments to victims, and there are candlelight vigils. The media profiles the victims and the shooter. The shooter's Facebook page or blog will be found, and perhaps a note giving a hint of why the shooting happens. And there are heartfelt comments from politicians from the local level to the White House." China Daily added, "With few exceptions, most of the shootings fade from the national conversation, but the scenario unfolds again when the new one occurs. There are those who offer a radical solution. Arm good guys to take on bad guys, and that is what is happening in the U.S. The increase in the number of public shootings involving guns is causing people to arm themselves out of fear. Gun sales peak after mass shootings, partly for fear of victimization and partly for fear of increased regulation. They rose after school shootings amid coronavirus shutdowns, racial justice protests, the presidential election in 2020, and after the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. There is deadly gun violence in the U.S. every day, and mass shootings, especially in schools, draw much more attention. However, those shootings represent a fraction of gun violence overall," said Gillian Peterson, an associate professor of criminology and criminal justice at Hemline University in St. Paul, Minnesota, and co-founder of the Violence Project, which studies mass killers. "Mass shootings," Peterson told the Post, "account for fewer than 1% of all people killed by firearms. They are very rare still, even though they are increasing. Mass shootings by design are meant to go viral," Peterson said. "The goal of them is fame, notoriety. Public mass shootings have a psychological impact on people, instilling fear of going to movies or a grocery store," she said. "While mass shootings draw attention, most gun deaths in the U.S. are either suicides or homicides, according to federal figures, with accidental or unterminated gun deaths representing a small fraction of the overall share. Almost 60% of gun deaths each year are suicides," the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention says.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies: 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.